Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. It is noon o'clock on Friday, March 2nd, and this is Mike Vandervoort and, TGIF, and I mean that sincerely this week. We're doing another of our series of shows on bloggers that are going to be part of the SHRM 18 Blog Squad, and today's guest is a great way to end the week. Ben Eubanks. I've known him for a long time. I knew him back when he was like 2 years old, and now he's all grown up and doing HR. And Ben, welcome to Drive Through HR. How are you today?
You know what? I am thrilled to be here, buddy. I was just saying a minute ago, it's been so long since we've talked one-on-one, and I welcome any chance to catch up with you, sir.
Likewise. And I didn't literally know you when you were two, but I knew you before you had kids.
It was around the edge. It seems like it's been forever, doesn't it? I was looking the other day. I started the blog back in 2009. I know you started, I think, before I started writing, but 2009 is the year I really started writing, and then that's also the year that HR Evolution started and everything else. So that was a really big year career-wise and every other way I can say in my life. That's when my wife and I started down the path towards our first kids, and now I think 4 and done is our number. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that have happened in the last 10 years since we connected originally. But, again, it's one of those things I'm so thankful for, those wandering paths that connect us to those people that we know and care about, because at the end of the day, we're passionate about a lot of the same things. And it's always a lot of fun to catch up.
That's true. And it's funny to think about the fact, and I think I've talked about this with a couple of the other bloggers, but it's funny to think that it's been 10 years. And I remember, being the guy, the Twitter guy at SHRM conferences, whether it was HR Florida or whether it was national or whatever, going, you got to be on Twitter, it's the coolest.
Yes.
And everybody's saying, Twitter. And now Twitter is the preferred communication method for our president, right? And mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I use Facebook or whatever, but it's remarkable that we've known each other that long and that the relationships that have developed, and as you said, HR Evolution, there's probably a couple hundred people that I know and talk to frequently that I would never have met had it not been for social media. So whatever ills it brings, I think it has some really good byproducts if used properly as a tool. But anyway, so let's first of all, Ben, like you said, we've known each other a long time. You've been doing something different for a while. When I first met you, you were an HR practitioner, kind of a shop of one, I think, for a long time. Now you're an analyst. You want to kind of tell us about what you got going on and introduce yourself to drive-through people all over again?
Sure. Absolutely. So I got a couple different irons in the fire, as you might imagine. In 10 years, that hasn't changed. Some of them look a little different, but there's always something interesting going on. So the primary role today, I spend my days running Lighthouse Research and Advisory. We're an analyst firm that focuses on best practices, innovation, trying to understand what the best companies are doing and helping others kind of adopt some of those practices themselves. A lot of that's fueled by research. So last year, our research spanned everything from designing your learning content to global compliance to high-performing performance management practices to all these different things. So I really get kind of nerdy on the data side because I love to find out what's working, what's not working. And then we also do a lot on the technology side as well. So technology selection, what's the best tool in the market. Had a couple conversations this week actually at an event. I was teaching on another topic, but people brought up the technology piece, and so we had lots of conversations around the kind of things that would actually meet their needs and stuff. That's something that I love doing. I've always been, you mentioned the Twitter thing. I've always been kind of at the front edge of what's going on the technology side, and so I love being able to kind of stay on top of those things, and that's what I do with Lighthouse. One of the other aspects of that is the podcast that I've been doing for, goodness, it'll be 2 years this August. That's been a lot of fun. It's called We Are Only Human. And I get a chance to talk to a lot of great people just, like these conversations here. I love the podcasting medium because you hear about the other person. You hear their voice. They're speaking to you almost, it seems, that they're talking about a topic that's relevant to you. So I love that feel. Still running Upstart HR, have been since 2009. I mentioned that a minute ago. I'd looked actually recently to figure out like what the traffic does. We don't keep up with that regularly. And we, since the inception, something like 1 million people have been through the site, like reading things and learning things. So I thought that was a really cool milestone. And that one's going in my little bio next time I'm speaking somewhere. Like, I love that, like being able to say, you know, we've helped 1 million people with their different questions and issues and challenges around HR. So that's fun. And I think, I don't know that everybody knows. I've kind of mentioned a little bit here and there on social, but I am about halfway through a book I'm writing on the impact of artificial intelligence on HR. Again, the tech piece, right? And so working through that process, and it's been an interesting learning experience. So one last thing, and this has been a long, like, about me, but again, you and I haven't caught up in a while, so you're getting the download too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Last thing is HR Evolution. We mentioned that. That event has been this very special. It's hard to describe. It's almost like a family. You know, when you get that back together, these people that you haven't seen in a while, and you know, you might want to describe it in a second how it feels for you, because I'd love to hear it from your perspective. But our last event was 2015. Last year, 16. I'm losing track now. It's been a year or two since we had an event, and people have been asking pretty much nonstop about that. And so this year we're actually coming back. The event's gonna happen in November. We're gonna keep close to that original anniversary date, and we're going to have it in one of the cities. We're looking at two cities right now, either Dallas or Cleveland, based on a heavy population of people that have attended the event, support the event, that are already there in those locations. So we try to hold it in some non-traditional place. You know, we're not going to Boston. We're not going to San Francisco. We're going to go somewhere where our people are, the in the trenches kind of HR leaders. And so we're super excited about bringing that back, because we've heard from so many people that they miss that. And that's one other thing that's kind of going on in the background amidst everything else.
And thank goodness you have some help there from Trish and Matt and Steve, I presume, some of the other founders of HR Evolution, right? I would say this about HR Evolution. I didn't make it to the first one. I went to the second and the third, and then I think I know the last one I went to was at was the one in Dallas, whenever that was.
Okay.
So was that 2015? Yeah. I didn't go to any of the ones that were tied in with HR technology, because I've never been to an HR tech conference in my career, if you can believe that. Not that I don't want to go. I always have a conflict, it seems, at that time of year. HR Evolution, and there was another event which is not tied to HR Evolution in any way, but it was put on for several years by Joni Doolin, who's a good friend and works in the restaurant industry. Well, she doesn't work in the restaurant industry. She owns a research company that tracks metrics related to hiring and lots of other business metrics for the restaurant industry. And they ran something called Summer Brand Camp. And those two events were not conferences. They literally were events where you learned and you networked and had fun simultaneously. And that's, I think, is why you're getting people saying, can we have another HR Evolution? Mm-hmm. You're right. It's you know, a lot of people don't like the word tribe, but it's whether you call it a tribe or a family or a community. I mean, met people there and you get to connect with them in a much different way than you do at any other HR or conference event that I've ever been to, because it's short, it's intimate, it's personal. How can I say this? The agenda is very flexible based upon the desire of the attendees, I think, and the people that are there generally genuinely like each other and generally really want to talk to those people. You go there to talk to those people. I wouldn't be there otherwise on a Saturday or whatever. And so, yeah, whether it's in Cleveland or Dallas, I'll be there in November. I didn't know that was coming up. It's awesome news to hear, but I'll be there. Yeah, so I don't know if that answers your question, but I love it because it lets me see friends and talk to them about HR nerd stuff and, you know, Star Wars and whatever else might come off the walls in a conversation with friends. So, all right. We'll come back around and then we'll talk about churn, since that's what the show is supposed to be about. You are also a runner and have been for a long time. I can barely run to the kitchen, but some of us have to climb stairs and some of us have to pound the street, I guess. And you've got a race coming up that I saw you mention on Facebook or Twitter. Tell us about that. I think that's this weekend, right?
Oh, yeah, that's tomorrow. And again, that, if we're gonna, let's dip into the personal side a little bit. I've been running for a long time, longer than I've been in HR, and it's one of those things that I identify myself with personally. It's one of those things that I, that keeps me sane, that helps me to focus, that helps me to just do life, basically. And it's because I have the chance, the opportunity to run. And in the last couple of years, I've tried to take that up a notch a little bit. Like, what are my limits? I'm curious, you know, how much, what can I do? And I'm never going to be, you know, a sub 4 minute miler. That's not, that's beyond me. But how far can I go the other way? And so last year, I actually went out and did a race, ran 40 miles at this 12-hour event. So basically, 12 hours, as many miles as you can cover. And 40 is what I hit when I pulled the plug and said, okay, I'm done for the day. But tomorrow, actually here locally, there's another 12-hour event. And so I'm trying to break 50 miles tomorrow. It'll be really, really interesting to see if I can pull that one off, and I hope I can. Either way, it's going to make a good story and one of those things that I'll probably be able to weave into some lessons learned in the presentation or something else somewhere along the line. So I'm excited about it.
Cool. Well, good luck, because it's that's something that, you know, the mind over body thing is that people do is incredible. Anyway, so Ben, you've been on the blog squad for Sherm before, right? How many times?
You know what? That's a good question. And I did not think about that prior to this conversation. I do know that back in 2010, Sherm did not yet have a blog team, but the team over at Monster actually kind of sponsored the social media team. And
yep.
Matt Charney, Jennifer McClure, and I were that group. And we did a lot of the social stuff behind the scenes and everything else. And that was the first year Sherm ever kind of thought about doing that. And after that, they kind of formalized the blogger program and everything. So other than last year, where I didn't get to attend, I've been there almost every single year.
Hey, so you've been, I think I've done all but one. I didn't do the Monster team, but I think since they started the official group, I think I've done all but one. And the one I didn't make, I think I was in the hospital or something. So I had a valid excuse. So being a veteran, yesterday I talked to somebody who has not yet attended the event in that capacity. So being a veteran, and maybe, you know, maybe the veteran, what would you recommend first? I mean, you know, I don't mean like wear comfortable shoes and stuff, but just like, how do you approach that event, and what do you try to get out of it? My approach has changed over the years, but I'd like to hear yours.
Mine has too. And so when I was a practitioner, I still talk to a lot. I still help a lot of them. And so my feeling's not too different. But years ago, when I first started going to the Sherm event, I kind of looked at the agenda ahead of time, looked for topics and things that were interesting, and kind of did that part of it. And now I take a different approach where I say, what is something that I've been struggling with that I don't know the answer to, that I've looked and I can't find the answer to that topic? And then I'll try to identify a speaker, someone else is going to be there, you know, maybe even whether it's a practitioner at a company, you know, lots of people at this event will be speaking, telling case studies and stories about their company and how they solved a problem. And so I actually am, while I would like to hear their content, I also am trying to connect with that person, that specific individual, because they have some insights and they could probably tell me some of those things that I've been unable to find myself. And so over the years, it's changed from following a topic to following a person or a speaker, an influencer. And like, if you and I go and you see some random person that we don't know, or we see a good friend of ours, Steve Brown, we're going to probably go and see Steve, just because we know that Steve is going to deliver. He's going to give us good content. He's going to give us some exciting stuff. We're going to come out of there on fire about what we're doing. And it's not quite the same thing, because I'm not following just a person regardless of the topic, but I'll dig, mm-hmm. I'll find that person that's speaking on that topic, and I'll try to actually get up there and connect with them after the session, even connect with them before going to the event and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to be there on site. I'm going to try to get to your session, but I would love to have 5 minutes of your time just to talk through this issue. Because honestly, as a speaker, I love that. I love when someone wants to talk to me about the thing that I'm already speaking about. It's I'm there because I'm talking about it, because I'm excited about it. That's a good thing. But also, it's a chance to really build some deeper connections. We talked about like the going to other events and things and building those, but this is a great way to do that, because it can be overwhelming, you know, to have 14, 15 or more thousand people at this event. You just get caught up in the tide and the flood. And so try to be really intentional about building some actual specific relationships prior to going is is what has really helped me to have better, I don't want to say better results necessarily, but better feelings coming out of the event. Like it was really worth my while. I've invested in something specific and I can point to it versus just saying I've attended these four or five sessions and, you know, I learned these things. Whether I'll put those into place or not, I don't know. But I at least built these relationships and I can nurture those and take something from that for the long term.
Yeah, I don't know how, I have a question, but I got to think about it for a second. So let me talk for a second while I formulate that. I think that, yeah, like the first couple times I went, I thought I should, you know, I felt like I needed to give everybody equal time. And by that, I mean SHRM and the speakers and the vendors and the attendees. And, you know, so I tried to kind of create this, I'm going to reach out into these four or five. At the end of it all, I was exhausted and I didn't really do a good job. I didn't think on any of it. Right. So I like the approach that you mentioned where you said, I try to go and learn something about something that's a problem for me. And I think over the years, I took a different tactic. I look over the events and I try to look at something and see if there's something that's newer or isn't, you know, stuff that you're going to see mainstream in the SHRM, on the website or in the SHRM monthly magazine or whatever. Like I remember 3 or 4 years ago, there was a company there that was trying to do payroll through Bitcoin as a business. And I don't think they lasted more than a year, but I talked to them because at that time, Bitcoin wasn't, I mean, it was hot, but it isn't what it is today, whatever it is. So that was kind of fun, is to try to pick out the hidden nuggets and stuff. But I agree with you. I go now, I try to find the things that are relevant to my field, but that would, and since I plan conferences, I love to go see speakers with the view of them maybe being somebody that could speak to my audience, you know, my attendees or my organization members at some point, build that relationship, also get to know them. And I think over time, you know, you evolve that way. Now as an analyst, because you mentioned things that you're trying to learn. So like you're writing this book on AI. Mm-hmm. So will you go to Chicago specifically looking to connect with people, you know, claim to use AI as tools? Is it going to be something different for you in Chicago outside of it than say focused on the book?
Yeah, I will be spending some time definitely in the expo talking to the different vendors, especially the ones that have some capabilities there. Some of them I've already, you know, connected with in the research. It'll be good to to meet them face-to-face, hopefully, if there's someone there to connect with. And if there's not, if I've never talked to them and they're coming in cold, I'd love to at least get that basic understanding of whether I think they're – I don't want to get too far off the beaten path, but the conversation around AI is one of those where – everybody says it, but when you get down to it, it might not actually have any of the capabilities that they say it does, or it might not do what they're saying it will. And so it's been interesting kind of filtering through those things, trying to understand that. And so that's one thing I'll come to the event with, trying to understand who's really doing that, who's not. Honestly, by the time I get to SHRM, though, the manuscript will have to be turned in, that'll be kind of research for kind of the follow-ups. It's one of the fun things about writing a book about a technology thing that's moving so fast is by the time the book actually comes out late this year, early next year, how much of that's going to be outdated in terms of this naming vendor specifically and things like that. So I'm trying to write in the context of the book, I'm trying not to focus on vendors A, B, and C can do this, but instead I'm looking at the bigger problems that HR faces, like talent management. How do we sift through all of our talent, understand their skills, get people into succession planning, you know, do good performance reviews. Like, how do we do those things using artificially intelligent tools that help us to automate some of these things and use some machine learning and all those good things there? And so I'm trying to really look at it from the perspective of the problems and use cases that HR has instead of looking at it just as the actual by-name technologies that can solve these problems today because, again, 6 months later, they might not be here. They might be here and be, you know, pivot to another problem. They might be doing something else entirely. So I'm trying to be really evergreen with some of the stuff, but at the same time, I am naming names and quoting vendors and things like that because they, at this point, there are some companies that are using this And if I could wave my magic wand and anyone to listen to this that's using some tools or using some bots in the candidate experience side, or they're using something that does sentiment analysis and does that with some algorithms and some automation behind it, I'd love to talk to some practitioners that have put those things in place. Ideally, it's harder to find those. So my hope is that's the other extension of those conversations with the vendors, is getting connected into their customers who are using the thing, so I can have some talk, you know, just talk shop with people like, is this working? Is it doing what they delivered? What's been the result, the benefit, those kind of things? I'd love to dig into those kinds of conversations and understand. You know as well as I do that the marketing hype is up here somewhere, and the actual results is somewhere below that. And I want to understand exactly where that bar is.
Yeah, I have no idea, like, of all the people who claim to use artificial intelligence or machine learning, you know, how much of that is just a marketing buzzword and how much is actually a real tool. Because I'm not sure that I know AI, you know, yet for what it is. But anyway, speaking of that, I did a show last year. I don't remember when, but I know you know Robin Schooling. Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a show with Jonathan Duarte, who is big on chatbots, and that was what the show was about. But we talked about how Robin was using a chatbot as a recruiting tool for her employer in Baton Rouge, and Jonathan kind of showed me the back of the dashboard and stuff like that. It was pretty interesting, and it was also really interesting to learn that the first chatbot that was ever created was done by the U.S. Army. It was called like Sergeant something, Colonel Clink, something like that, and it was 10 years ago. So. If you don't know Jonathan, you know, I mean, you might find a conversation with him interesting. He's out in San Francisco. He knew a ton of stuff, and there's a lot of legal issues behind it. He's not a lawyer, but there's a ton of legal issues behind it. The conversation was really pretty fascinating because I knew nothing about it when we started. So I thought that was a fun show. Okay, let me see where we're at. I'm going to do a quick reset. We need another half an hour, Ben. Sorry. We have about 8 minutes left. So let's talk about the book and other kinds of writing for a minute. Is this book going to be self-published? Are you working on a contract? I don't want you to give away details if it's, you know, not pertinent, but like how are you doing the book? And if you could talk to us about that for just a minute.
So I've written for a long time, and I love the process, and I've always thought I would love to publish a book, and have kind of kept that in the back of my mind for a long time. Last year, I actually did some work with IBM kind of explaining how AI is going to affect HR and the skills that we'll need going forward in that new, brave new world. And a publisher found that and reached out to me and said, hey, we think this is something that we need to have someone write about. We found this piece that you did. Would you be interested in putting a proposal in? And we'll submit that to the board. And like, for nothing else in the experience, someone calls you up, like, do you want to interview? Like, yeah, I'll talk to you at least. You know, whether I want the job or not, I don't want to talk to you. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll do this process. And a week later, she said, hey, the board approved it. You know, here's the contract. Let's get rolling. And so that all happened very quickly. And we laid out kind of a plan. It's been interesting trying to keep to their schedule and to write the volume that they're looking for, because it's just one of those things where I'm like, if I've said enough on the topic, I don't feel like I need to pull in 5,000 more words just to say that we've hit our word count on this topic. I need to just move on to the next thing. So that's been an interesting thing for me. But that's been a lot of fun. I've done, besides the book, I've done other writing too, some freelancing, some other things over the years for different clients. And it's always been one of those kind of side gigs. You know, every time we talk about gig worker, I'm like, raise my hand. I've done those kind of things ever since I was working in HR as kind of just a side thing, as a way for me to express my passion and as a way for me to kind of have another channel to just share my thoughts on different topics. Because while I am usually the quiet one in the room, when it comes to writing, it's hard to get me to stop.
So how do you approach writing? Because like for me, it's like I need to sit down and write, and I just do it. I'm not very methodical, and I kind of have to have a thought in my head. So if you're writing a book, you have to be more disciplined, I presume. How do you do that?
Yeah, and that's been one of the biggest challenges for me, is I'm similar to you. So when I blog, Every Saturday morning at 5 a.m., I sit down in front of my computer and I write the blog for Lighthouse, the blog for Upstate HR for the week. That's how I do it. I spend about an hour and a half there before the kids get up and just get that done and do it in one sitting. I can't do a half a draft and come back later. That's just not my style. And so it's been interesting with the book where I have to pull together some notes, do a little bit of research, and then write in a way that I can encapsulate that, but also put it in my own words and think through how I feel about that. Is that really the way it's going to go? And it's in some ways it's easy because I get to bring to bear 8+ years of writing and experience and everything else. I get to put those things into practice, and all the stories and case studies that I've heard over the years, all those things kind of come in. But at the same time, because the book, I'm also like, there are some areas of this that I'm just on the edge of. So I need to get closer to the center. I need to understand how these things are working, what's being adopted. And that's been the interesting challenge, because right now I'm writing a chapter that is dependent on me having probably 10 conversations with different people and different companies to understand how it works, what's working for them, how their product actually functions, those kind of things. Because right now on the outside, I don't know those things. And this chapter is dependent on those specifically because it's an area that I'm not as strong in within the HR spectrum. So that's been an interesting thing. Cause I'm just kind of like, let's get this meeting scheduled so I can start doing some writing. And it's one of those things that I don't usually write well. I don't like being under pressure from that perspective because I feel like I'm not getting my best thing out. But you know, again, it's been interesting. We'll see what happens.
Any tips for some poor HR blogger who just started their blog and has ambitions to do sort of a side gig? Any tips you would share for getting started in that particular direction?
A side gig, as in going the published book route, or as doing more freelance?
Writing beyond your own blog for other people, that kind of thing.
So when I started out, I'm trying to remember what one of the first things I did. I reached out to a couple of different sites, and you can do this. The hard thing about blogging is that there's lots of places that will gladly take your stuff for free and share it and publish it. Even if you want to write something new, they'll do it for free. And if you get into the middle of that, unless you're doing it somewhere where you're going to get a lot of recognition and be able to leverage that, you are wasting your time. You're burning your energy and your brain cells for nothing. A lot of content mills where they're making all the money on the advertising and everything else, and you're just putting the content in for free. That's not a good model for most people. So a lot of the vendors have paid writers, and so it's possible that you can find one of those that maybe you're using their product, and you're like, hey, I'm really passionate about this thing and what it does. I'd love to write some things for you, and here's my rate. And you just throw out something and go from there and negotiate. So a lot of vendors use paid writers to get things done. One of the other things I did at the very beginning was using, I want to say it's the Pro Blogger job board and searching. I actually searched last week. There's nothing HR related there today. But they occasionally would have like an HR or recruiting focused blog that needed a writer. And so if I'm going to dig way back in my memory, the very first site that I ever wrote for, I was writing blog posts for like $10 a piece for a 300-word blog post, which today makes me laugh. For those people that they might be excited about making $10, but it's funny just to look back and see how far that's come. But that really, it's just finding some different sources, different sites you respect that you follow, connecting with those people that run those in a meaningful way, not just sending them a blind email like, hey, let me publish some of my stuff, because I get about 15 of those a day, and I archive or delete all of them because they get all that stuff, and it doesn't matter. Build that relationship first, and then start that conversation, just like anything else in life. Don't just come in cold because it's not going to work for you.
Well, we're down to like the last minute, so I'm going to wrap up here real quick. You introduced me to somebody at HR Acuity a few months ago just with an email, and that turned into a conversation with that person, that turned into a conversation with the founder, and the founder of HR Acuity is now doing 3 sessions for us at my upcoming conference for Q in Tampa in April. And I had known her, but I never actually spoke to her. So it's funny how that relationship came back around, and you had done a piece on employee relations for them at some point. So even writing, whether it's a side gig or not, that's also networking and building relationships. Ben, we got 30 seconds. I appreciate you being on the show. I'm glad you're doing well. I'll look forward to hearing more about HR Evolution. Any last, tell people where they can find you on Twitter, that kind of stuff.
If you want to connect with me on Twitter, it's at Ben Eubanks. Pretty easy to get me there. And then LinkedIn, find me, connect with me. I'd love to get to know the rest of you more so that we can meet up in real life at SHRM. Thank you so much, Mike, for sharing the platform. It's been fun to chat and interact with you, buddy. I missed it.
Likewise. Talk to you soon. See you in Chicago, Ben. Thanks. Have a great afternoon. Bye.